welcome back to Overdunk, everybody, your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. And I know I said last episode that we were back from hiatus. Well, I lied. We are now back from hiatus with this episode. I am your host, as usual, Zoinks, and I am joined by my usual co-hosts, Venat and Doobsnacks. What is going on, you two? Doobsnacks, let's check in with you first. It has been quite some time since you have been on the Overdunk podcast. How have you been, my friend?
So long. It's been so long, I'm crying. I'm just so happy to be back.
Yeah.
I've been good. I love Pokemon Unite. I do. I think we've had so much cool stuff come out over the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
That could have reinvigorated the community. Maybe that's something we'll chat about a little bit later.
Sure.
But I'm excited.
Yeah, it's been a pretty good season. We've survived the Mewtwo winter. It feels like we're in a change of seasons. I'd say that's an exciting spot to be in. But yeah, there are always some takeaways, good, bad, and in the middle, of course. That is definitely true. But Ven, how about you? You were on the last episode. You and I were talking about some patch notes 2 patches ago now, I think. Just to bring everybody in behind the curtain a little bit. We unfortunately are going to have to kind of consider that one a lost episode. May or may not have lost the audio. You know, things happen.
Oops.
No podcast for that one. Oops. It was on the Twitch VOD for a bit, so hope you got it. But, Ven, you are here, and again, for this real episode, not a ghost episode. So how are you? It's been quite a long time for the average listener since they've heard your voice.
I'm doing pretty well, honestly. I'm adjusting nicely to finally, my new apartment that I've been living in for a bit. Cool. Job's going great. My life's good.
Nice. Yeah. Did you tweet about it? I think when you were talking about your new living situation, you're like, listen, I know it sucks to pay rent and I'm being taken advantage of by a system, but I'm choosing to.
It was on my private Twitter. I think my exact words were look, I know I'm being exploited, but I'm being exploited on my terms now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think that is the pill that we all need to swallow, but it does feel good when you move out and you're like, yeah, I chose this. that's a good spot to be. So I'm glad you're feeling like you're in a good spot. But let's get into a discussion on Pokemon Unite, shall we? Doobsnacks, you opened the show saying how much you love it. So I think it is time we start talking about it. And I think we would be remiss if we didn't talk. I mean, there's a lot of big news, actually. But I think the biggest piece of news that has come out in the last few weeks will be the producer letter. We got another producer letter. It's been, a few months since we've had our last one. This time it was addressing a few things that were kind of contentious amongst the community. Legendary Pokemon and their power levels. They have now been granted something called the EX license. Introduction of regulations in terms of rank seasons, whether some Pokemon will be available and some will not.
Yep.
And the big one, of course, is the fact that draft mode is coming to ranked in February on Pokemon Day, which we all assume will kind of be the release of some more legendary Pokemon as well. So we'll see. But yes, that is the big introduction, is that draft mode is coming at the moment, master ranked Pokemon play. Doobsnacks, this has me excited. How about you? How are you feeling about this change?
Come on, dog. I mean, we've on good old Unite Mics, specifically Overdunk, the three of us have been barking about this for a long time. Of course, I'm excited about it. It's going to be amazing. I know how to play all the support characters, so I feel great. I'm not going to get banned out of a game, okay? So if that's it, okay. So obviously, let's just address the elephant in the room. If ranked bans draft system is scary to you, you have two options. One, play standards and have a great time. Or two, recognize that the cast of characters within the game is growing. Maybe pick up a couple other ones. and then get into the ranked foray that way. Start in standards, maybe, and then transfer into ranked. I also don't think ranked's going to be that particularly difficult until they flip that up a little bit. But I do think the draft system is going to help. Big fan over here, Zoinks. Big fan.
Yeah, I am too. I think it's going to be a great inclusion for a lot of reasons. I think it's going to be more fun. It's going to bring more competition to rank, which is always a good thing. I think it was Frosk, like way back in the day, like around release time before UCS started, but she was tweeting about it. It's like, please, Timmy, give your players a chance to protect themselves against the developers. Give us a chance to see the broken thing coming before it enters the game and ban it away, or make sure we're hyper selecting, you know, just things like that. I think it is giving the players another tool that'll be a lot more fun. It'll be strange in solo queue for sure. You might get hinted by your teammates in terms of picks and when they choose things on draft order, but I mean, when does that happens now? Like that is no change from what is occurring at the moment. So I think it's definitely a huge success. But Ven, I think you in particular actually had you had kind of mixed opinions on this producer letter, I believe. Yeah. I don't want to put you on the spot like that, but I am curious on your okay. opinions though, like positive, negative, how are you feeling about the producer letter as a whole?
Okay. So first of all, I'm going to say that I think something just occurred to me, that by default your like master rank points are what arrange you left to right on like loading screens and stuff, which also means that it probably arranges you that way in the lobby, which means that like the person with the most rank points might get first pick. That's interesting. Anyway,
I don't know. It's weird for sure.
But so here's my thing, right? There is, besides the X licenses, which we'll get to in a minute.
Yeah.
Everything in this letter is a positive. Mm-hmm. However, it's a very vague positive, and it also fails to acknowledge the problem. The problem was indirectly acknowledged in the fact that they're saying things now. The problem was not directly acknowledged because, you know, they didn't acknowledge any of the outcry from the previous letter, which was, well, not exactly like, it was vague enough that people felt deceived. So like that like communication flaw wasn't acknowledged, which I was not a fan of. I will say that, like, as far as the X licenses go, this is technically an improvement over the system that like long-standing Pokemon fans are used to, which is in VGC, where they just ban a list of Pokemon and you just have to find them in the fucking rule book.
Right. Yeah. It's gotten a little better in modern eras, right? Yeah. Like Gen 8 and Gen 9 now have ranked ladder, and it like tells you at the start what you're going to play in ranked. But like that, yes, that was there was a separation between the competitive tournament environment and playing with your friends online. There was a clear separation. Yeah. You're right, but a little bit easier.
So like this is an improvement over that, where it clearly says this is an EX Pokemon. This Pokemon can be subject to restrictions depending on the season. Right. That's awesome. And they also listed out, these are the three ones right now. All right, cool. Could you do us a favor and tell us what qualifies those? Are there any Pokemon in the current roster that may potentially qualify for that in the future? The board, like the edge cases. We basically, I know it's a leak, but like we know about the whole Maridon versus Coridon event. That's a public thing. We know Unite's going to be probably part of it. Which one of those is where, like, that one's probably going to be on the list, right? Like, that'd be nice to know ahead of time. That kind of stuff, right? Like, the details.
Yeah.
And, like, draft pick is cool. Season 18, less cool. I do understand it, right? Like, I do understand it, because it's like, they don't want to introduce two massive changes in the same season. I also would like to know, hey, since you've already told us that Season 18 is going to have this massive change, how are EX licenses going to work in Season 18? I don't know.
Yeah, that did feel like an oversight to me when I was reading through the producer letter. I was like, okay, that makes sense. Like, but I can kind of inference, right? But I think this has always been the problem with Unite and the developers. It is that like when we get something, it is a positive and it is a great. It's just, we almost got there, right? Like, we almost communicated every bit that we wanted. We almost got that, like, full description. We're just a little bit shy, which is frustrating. I do feel that frustration as well.
Yeah, and it's like, and I'm not like, it's not like about, like, and I understand, you know, like, there can be, like, a sense of entitlement there, right? And I do acknowledge that is the vibe I'm giving off.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like it is perfectly reasonable to be to feel some entitlement to what has been an industry standard for literally a decade now.
Yeah. No, I think that's totally fair. And we've kind of moved on past draft and ranked matches at this point. We're starting to talk about EX licenses. Last note I have about draft before we move on. I am excited for it. I think this, what I was referring to when I was doing the original intro to this producer letter was that there was a little bit of back and forth in the community. I think it was like everybody had settled around it is a good thing, but there was like a subsect of the community that was like, I'm not excited about it. And honestly, I think the community was like relatively cool about that. Like, they're not always cool about big discussions in the game, right? But I think the community actually did like an okay job. Yeah. Maybe we'll talk about that later. I don't know. I don't know if I want to open up the can of worms. But it did, I feel like in general, people were like, okay, like, it's a bit of a bummer. I'll try it. Maybe I will like it. Maybe I won't. But in the end, I'm very excited to see how it works. Now, the only part that I am worried about in draft and EX licenses and coming in is the mention about the restrictions of them in the rank season. Only because I'm coming at this with a very competitive game mindset where draft being added to rank match is a huge step forward to make that game mode viable for tournament practice for like professional teams or top level competitive teams. Now they can attempt to compete on the ranked ladder to earn experience, to, you know, like bring into UCS matches, all that kind of stuff. If we add restrictions to that in ranked ladder, but tournament gameplay doesn't mimic it, it's like we solved one, not even a problem. Well, it is a problem. We solved one problem, but then we kind of like created another one, which I'm not super pumped about. However,
in my opinion,
let me finish this point, and I'll toss it back. But I will say, it is better to make your game succeed in a moment like this than your tournament scene. So I will say, fine, if it like adding variety in this kind of restrictions here and there to the rank ladder is what saves ranked, great, that's fine. I will forego this. I'm just saying, like, maybe tournament play can mimic it. I don't know. Yeah. Deuce Next, we'll get to you on EX license in just a sec, but Ben, you had one more thing you had wanted to say.
Yeah. It's, in my opinion, like, the tournament, especially like on our side of things, right? Like the UCS staff is by far the most like open to feedback of any facet of Pokemon Unite.
Oh, for sure.
My personal opinion is that whatever the ranked season that predominantly occurred in the month of a monthly final, whatever the practice environment was, their restrictions with regards to EX licenses should be the restriction for that UCS final.
God, that'd be so cool too, right? Like, if we had a different format for, like, if we had these kind of ban lists moving towards tournaments and stuff, unless the ban list sucked. But I think for the most part, it'd probably be fine, right? Like, I think it'd be pretty cool. And that, man, that would really spice up ranked ladder. Like, people would be playing ranked a lot if that happened. Yeah. That'd be really, really interesting. Okay. Deuce Next, I want to hear what you think, though, on EX licenses. So far, Zacian, Mewtwo, and Mewtwo are the only Pokemon that received them.
So, I hate the EX license tag idea.
Okay.
And the reason I hate it, and I've tweeted about this and I've said it in other places, but I'll just say it again real quick, is the thing that people have had the problem with the most with Pokemon Unite from casual to competitive in terms of players has been the balancing within the game. Yeah. Creating an EX license tag, you just added two more axes that you have to balance. So originally, it's the characters, right? Mm-hmm. Now, it's the characters, regular, the EX Pokemon as a group, and now the balance between the two. So you've literally tripled the amount of things you have to, like, juggle. And it's already been proven to be the thing that they can't handle well. So that is what's infuriating about the EX license portion.
Now, let me ask you this, though. Are we maybe giving them too much credit for before? Like, were they not already doing this? Now they just put a name tag on it? Like, it kind of felt like legendary Pokemon were their own thing and normal and unlegendary Pokemon were different. Right? Like, it feels like they sort of were already working on these axes, but now they just put a name tag on it, which
Well, if they've been working on these axes before, they just showed that they really can't handle it.
Right.
And now they've just put, it's either a Band-Aid on a bullet hole because they're realizing that we need to put this on as an excuse to try and handle this better in the future. Mm-hmm. Or they're saying, this is what we've always been working towards, and now we need to get a lot better.
Yeah.
On both sides of the coin, they kind of look the same to me.
Okay.
So that's just my two cents about EX and just EX stamps or whatever, what are you going to call them, tags. But as a collective, the rest of the producer's letter sounded great to me.
Mm-hmm.
I do like how they are mitigating them already within the casual or competitive ranked ladder system. That's great.
Yeah.
Kind of take that level of pressure off while you're adding the draft system as well. And to Ben's point, if they can make both what you're seeing on ladder mirror the tournament structure, that's also phenomenal. I will say, if it doesn't quite line up, I wouldn't call it a problem. I'd call it an inconvenience for the top level players. And I guess the expectation would be, like, you're a top level player, you can adjust. In the vein that you said, Zoinks, is it's more important for the game to succeed right now than necessarily cater to every whim of the competitive scene as we're talking about it. So all in all, this producer's letter to me was a big W. I think the EX stamp in and of itself soloed out is a huge L until I will be gladly proven otherwise. Don't get me wrong here. If they nail this balancing stuff, sure, I will take a step back and reassess. But they need to prove that they can do that. I wait with bated breath.
Okay, fair enough. I think that's a good spot to be. Ben, do you have any final thoughts on producer letter before we move on?
Oh boy, do I.
Good.
Okay. So, two things. One, I did not make this very clear in my initial set of reviewing of the producer letter. The EX licensing system is fucking shit. It is terrible.
You don't like it. All right. Fair enough.
It is god-awful. In my opinion, what it shows, and this has been kind of like going back a little bit to like the part that I'm like really worried about, it shows a philosophy issue. I actually like, you know, like if there's bugs or whatever, like mistakes happen, small balance patches, mistakes happen, that kind of thing, right? The core philosophy of the game has been laid out to us and I don't like it. I do not like that the core philosophy is these things must always be overpowered. That is a fine thing for a primarily single-player RPG, which is where they are mirroring it from. That is not a fine thing for a 5v5 team-based environment.
Okay, real quick, if I can chime in. My problem with this ideology is, like, it functionally makes sense in theory, but, like, the main core of the story of the game is a Pikachu that, like, pops off unnecessarily all the time.
Okay.
Yes.
Are you telling me a Pikachu can't be a leader of your squad? Bro just won the league with a Pikachu out here. So I'm like, what are we talking about?
I don't know.
Lore is a flimsy guard for this theory, for sure. From them, I'm like,
like, let me make that clear. I'm not the one making that argument. I think they're making that argument.
Yeah. Again, argument. it's pretty weak. Yeah. We can't make Pikachu.
So, like, that's the thing that like really bothers me. Yeah. And like the my overall feelings of the produce letter is like, I think that this would have been a great thing 6 months ago.
Yeah.
I think this would have been unambiguous, well, other than the EX licenses, unambiguous W 6 months ago.
Right.
I think that, like, with the amount of time they have had to prepare this, with the amount of community outcry and feedback, with the objective numbers we have to look at, like, all of these metrics, this should have been more because they took their damn time.
That is an interesting, like thing to kind of question, right? Is though, okay, you got to think about a live game, like a live service game, in terms of development cycles and just when are you trying to hit your peaks at what points, right? In the summer, you have the World Championships. That's always going to be a huge peak. I've been writing a bunch of articles for Unite recently for like some websites, and I am in Google Trends, like seeing what words people are searching and stuff. And I got curious. I was hitting like year-long and everything. The spike in August is ridiculous compared to the rest of the year.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. And
just conventional. So, but you got to think about it. We want to try to hit moments like that level, but we need to hit peaks throughout the year. And so I guarantee that November, December have been rough months for them historically in terms of getting noise. You have your Christmas event. Awesome. You have some like giveaways and discounts and all that side of the stuff, like for the everyday player of Pokemon Unite. I'm sure that gets some traction, but if they want to have the competitive eyes in the middle of an off season, right near the start of their Asian competitive season, feels like this was planned to be around this time. I would love it if it was earlier, but personally, I understand why a big news moment was slated for a time slot like this.
Yes, I agree that there is a very good reason for it to be right now.
But you want more. I totally get that.
Yeah, I am arguing if it was back then and what it is now, that is good. Mm-hmm. With the time period it is, it should have been more.
Okay, sure. Yeah, that's fair. I don't know. Yeah, I don't really know, like, what else do they have anymore? Like, what else are they working on? I don't know. We'll see.
That's the problem.
Yeah, well, we got more questions for sure. Also, Toon, please tell me Aegislash is good now. I just really want to play that Pokemon again. It's been a minute since that Pokemon's been good. But speaking of good and bad and Pokemon and their stats and their abilities, we literally have two patches to talk about in terms of when we last had the podcast air. We, of course, are not going to be going near as in-depth as, well, admittedly, when that's the only thing to talk about on one of our episodes. We're just going to kind of breeze through a lot of it. That first patch that you and I talked about then, a lot of Mewtwo nerfs, that was feeling pretty good. Glaceon kind of saw a comeback and was kind of swinging back up. So that's going to be my spark notes from that. Mimikyu got Giga Broken. That also happened. I forgot about that. That was in that patch. But in this most recent one, we have some changes. Mimikyu included. Also, Meowscarada release. Two new held items. So we got a lot to talk about. So let's just talk about each of your, let's say, favorite thing out of the patch this time around. Deuce next, let's start with you.
My favorite thing this patch around is Mimikyu getting smashed a little bit. Well deserved indeed. The Dragapult buffs are a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun seeing people post their Dragapult clips. I feel like that's never been a phase of life we've been in the game, even when the Pokemon was released, right?
There was like that, like, 24-hour period where people had finally discovered that how to play Dragon Dance Dragon Breath, where people hadn't discovered how to play against it. So like they got to pop off for like one ranked night, and then people were like, oh wait, just CC the thing. And then,
like, it's like the two farthest Venn diagrams of moments, right? Like it's essentially two separate circles of when that Pokemon was good and when the lack of understanding. I'm so happy it's here. But Deuce likes, I cut you off. Go ahead.
Yeah.
No, so those two things are terrific. I'm most excited. I'm going to be gaming a lot tonight with Hoopa. I haven't gotten to play this season, but obviously the Hoopa nerfs are they're not irrelevant. I just don't think it really takes it down that much. I think its abilities are absolutely banana lands. But I'm excited to play with the cooldown. It does mean that Hoopa players, including myself, need to be a little less ignorant with when we're throwing down portals, because I am like the king of aggro portals, because the timing usually works out that you can get one back. That might not be the case. We're going to test that out tonight.
That 2 seconds is a big increase. So
it is a big increase. It is a big increase indeed.
Yeah, I should. Yeah, we are an audio medium, and I forget that so often. But everybody listening at home, the cooldown increase for Hyperspace Hole went from 10 seconds to 2 seconds. Went from 10 seconds to 12 seconds. It was increased by 2. It did not get that reduction down to 2 seconds. That would be nuts. And then the movement speed got quite a bit of a reduction. I mean, 110 down to 70. Definitely noticeable.
It's also worth noting that unless you were playing tournament mode or custom mode, the base healing was also reduced.
Right. Okay. Interesting.
So the amount of time you have to spend in the base once you get Hyperspeed Hold was slightly increased.
Oh, okay. Well, that's relevant.
That is not irrelevant. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. I still don't think... So, you know, you'd have to keep pushing these times up to make Hoopa like into irrelevancy. But if you do that, then the character will never be touched again. And I don't think that's a good space for the game to be in either. So I'm hoping that what this does is maybe take Hoopa off of the necessarily, you know, like being the only support that circles into the bandwagon, not the bandwagon, and brings it back on par with the other supports, where like if you have a good support player that is proficient in all of them, then you can choose a support based on your own composition rather than scramble to try and grab the best one, which I don't necessarily think is where you want supports to be, is scrambling to grab the best support, if that makes sense.
I think supports in this game, in terms of draft and in competitive and soon to be in ranked in February, I think Hoopa is a clear outlier in terms of strength, but I also think the roster is just very small in terms of we don't have a ton of crossover in terms of playstyle. So there's not a lot of Pokemon that fill similar roles, not the case in the damage category. We have a lot of Pokemon that do something very similar to another Pokemon. We don't have that as much with support. Like, we don't have a hyper mobility support other than Hoopa. Please, Leaf Tornado buffs again. But we don't really have an option like that that has a crossover. So if you want to play in a specific way, you want to play score-centric, defend goal zones, blah, 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 Hoopa's like your only option that enables that strategy as a whole. You don't really have second options you could rotate to otherwise. So I think either one of those options, like you could either have the supports in perfect balance across the board or just more playstyles represented in kind of these, you know, Venn diagrams of supports. It's become the word of the podcast is Venn diagram. But
last thing I'll say on the patch notes, and is to your point, is what I'm saying is not that the supports should be balanced to meld into each other, but balanced so they're not banned out. Because I feel like that's not where you want supports to be. Like, the target ban shouldn't necessarily, like, in case scenarios, sure, it can be. But I don't think, like, we were in a phase where Hoopa was always banned. And I don't think that's the spot where you want your support core to be. I want Hoopa to be within the mix, to your point, where it can be selected for a play style, not selected because it is the best thing going all the time.
Ugh, Doofsex already trying to protect his Hoopa pick and draft when it comes to ranked. Unbelievable. Already setting
the first time I played in draft in a tournament mode, I duffed my Hoopa selection and ended up on Clefable, and everybody's like, well, I guess we're changing everything we're doing now. And I was like, no worries. It was like a first pick Clefable, griefed the entire squad. Haven't been invited back, by the way, for those of you keeping score at home.
You lost your MQL disciple status? That is a bummer to hear. I am sad. We'll play on ladder.
Once ladder starts with draft mode, there's no shot I'm getting picked back up.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, all right, Ben, I know you weren't, I know you haven't been playing as much recently, but how about thoughts on this patch? How you feeling?
I think that this patch in general with 2 new items is really cool. Yeah. I think they finally did what they probably should have done to Urshifu a while ago, which is just gut it and figure out how to deal with it later.
For real. Oh my gosh. I'm so happy you mentioned that. Mine too, that I want to talk about, are Urshifu and Mew. But I think those adjustments were unbelievably good. So I am super pumped about that.
They nerfed the most, like, brain off play style possible, mm-hmm. and they didn't touch the things that actually take a lot of skill, so that's cool.
Yeah. It's just good. Like, I'm so happy about it. Double Beam has been way too strong of a comp and competitive for a while. Like, I think it is just so unbelievably good. It got better with the Venusaur buff being at 7, and like, yeah, I think it is just so unbelievably strong.
Reference, like, the Solar Beam nerf is so bad that, like, a level 12 Mew, which is where it gets Solar Beam plus, so, like, usually that's the level, you usually want to aim for a little bit higher than that at Ray, usually aim for 13, but, like, level 12 Mew with a full set of items does less damage than a same level Venusaur without items with a beam.
Interesting.
That's a little unfortunate.
Well, that's where you want it, right? Like, because the, like, you want Mew to have these things, but considerably weaker than the characters that you have to build to have those moves for. Mm-hmm. Like,
the
otherwise,
Jack of all trades, master of none scenario. That is what they're chasing with Mew's design space. Totally agree.
Which is not where it was before.
No.
But yes, that's
good. Hooray! Jack of all trades and master of all of it.
Of all.
The best.
Pulled out the Excalibur out of the stone.
Still the best coaching move in the game.
Overall, pretty good. I think that this is a positive direction for a patch. Also, Mimikyu definitely, that's a good hit. Aurora Veil's finally playable again, kind of.
Yeah, let's go. Pop off. Hey, listen, I think if you've liked Aurora Veil with Ninetales, I think you never stopped playing it, so... You know, there's some diehard Aurora Veil Alolan Ninetales players out there. So seeing that buff, absolutely sick. For anybody listening on Spotify or something like that, Aurora Veil got buffed to heal per boosted auto attack from 5% of their special attack to 10% of the special attack, and the base also moving from 20 to 40. I don't know what Slider is. Ven, can you explain to me what Slider is?
So Slider is, you take the Slider and you multiply it by your current level minus 1.
Okay.
And that's, you just add that to the move, and that's
So it's like an exponent.
It's not an exponent.
I think we all agree it's an exponent. All right,
It's a dangling participle there, so like,
true. Also, Zacian,
I agree. The square root.
thank you. I'm glad we all come to agree the math is correct. All right. Yeah, you didn't come here for that. Okay. Shadow buffs also happened. That's weird. Whatever.
This is just the pre-patch numbers. They just accidentally reverted the Sacred Sword. It happens.
Oops.
Also, we accidentally buffed Dodrio to hell.
Oh my bad. Ven, that buff, that bug, I assume, is wild. Dupesex, I know you haven't had a chance to play recently.
Oh, I've heard about it.
Well, I'd say you'll see it, but you won't. That's how fast the Dodrio moves. It's so crazy. It is Sonic the Hedgehog on the battlefield.
I've got that premium comfy hollowware, so I'm ready to go.
Whoops. All right. Well, I think, yes, Urshifu and Mew nerfs were some of my favorite things to see. Inteleon getting hit as well. The battle pass is gone. Let's go. We can move on and get that Pokemon nerf. That's good. I think this is just a W patch all around.
Agree.
It did break the game in a few ways. Looking at you, Dodrio. Looking at you, tournament mode. Unfortunate. I don't know, we're not gonna go too in depth with it on the podcast, but tournament mode is like kind of jank right now, so that is super unfortunate, but I don't think it'll be too big of a detriment. I don't know, yet to see, but kind of wild stuff there. But I'm glad we talked about bugs a little bit, because this is a discussion that happened, I'd say, in earnest a few weeks ago at this point in a few just tournament channels. I most recognized it when it came to Underdunk, which is a tournament that Unite Mike's kind of hosts on our channel in terms of the stream every second week. If you are listening at home and you want to watch more Unite Mike's tournaments, well, we're not running it, but we do run the stream for it every second Thursday. So next Thursday, if you're listening to this live, there'll be another Underdunk to watch. Maybe a lot of fun. It's a great tournament. So fun to watch. A discussion has come up with a lot of top players. It was mostly revolving around the fact that, like, a lot of players were really frustrated that they didn't have as much Zacian practice as they wanted at the end of last year because the Pokemon was banned, but then was allowed for Worlds, and just all these question marks comes around with banning. and when to ban, who to ban, those kind of things. Ben,
I'm
we'll let you talk
that one straight up.
Sure. I think we've talked about this before, just to give you a preface on this podcast, so you don't have to go too deep, but yes. I'm going to
lay out every single European and North American Zacian player at Worlds. All right. Rin. Literally won Worlds, arguably the best Zacian there. Arguably second best. Not important. Either way, insane on it. Klaus, really, really good at it. In spite of his one very funny int that was more of a, let's be honest, it looked like just a bunch of miscommunication and frustration. It didn't look like a mechanical error on the character.
Sure.
Let's see, who else was there? I didn't watch any of Team's YouTube's games. Amaterasu, a role in it. Just role swapped to the role like 2 months ago. I don't think it's very relevant.
Sure. Yeah, I think we'll see what we're getting at.
I think it's a cornball excuse. Like, I don't even know why it's a conversation point.
Yes.
It's just corny.
It is like,
it's just
literally every single Western player, except for one, did really well on that character. And that one is the one making the argument. No, I'm not going to hear it.
Yeah.
No, so that's cornball.
There is that argument. Okay, so I feel bad that we started this conversation with that specific subject because I feel like I'm not giving as good of light to the greater discussion as a whole. But basically, what I want to talk about is ban or bug severity and bans. So far, as if the last year in the competitive environment, any bug, basically at all, if it was beneficial in any way, received a ban. For the most part, community figures trying to communicate with the competitive environment, trying to make that happen. That's a pretty positive thing, but a lot of players have shown frustration at just the ongoing, always changing ban lists, things like that. How do we feel about this? Do we think that maybe we should chill on the bans a little bit, or do we think it shouldn't be changed anywhere from where it's been at currently?
I know I just took the lead on the last part, but this part is one that's very relevant to my specific area. I apologize, Deep Stats.
Good, baby.
So here's the thing. The position of the math court has always been, and I don't think most people know this, that the ban recommendation list that we put out is for a nice and easy copy-paste. This is the, like, all the major beneficial bugs. Uh-huh. That is it. Any tournament organizer with any sort of experience can contact us, and I will give you, I won't anymore because I'm soon not going to have access to those channels. More on that next week. They will give you the entire reproduction steps for every single bug, along with every possible effect it has.
Right.
The entire point of that from the beginning was to empower tournament organizers to make the most informed decisions that they could. Mm-hmm. If they did not want to do that, that is like, or they were, if they weren't aware of that, to be fair, we could have communicated that better. But also, at the end of the day, it's their decision. I think that generally speaking, leaning on better safe than sorry is a good thing, asterisk. My opinion comes from a game where patches get done every week and or hot fixes get done within a week and not within 6 months.
Right. yeah.
But I do acknowledge that sometimes things are just, it is just conducive to a better competitive environment that some, especially low power bugs, are just allowed.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes that's up for debate too in terms of what is low power, what is high power, things like that. But Dupesnacks, yes. any thoughts on this specific discussion?
Obviously I'm too stupid and not that tapped in to know all the technical surroundings. Obviously I lean into what I believe to be right and what provides the best viewing experience. And the best viewing experience for those people tuning in at home is to have the most Pokemon available to be played at all times. Mm-hmm. That's my stance. Obviously I don't want something egregious in the game that, like, ruins the viewer experience, like when every second ban had to be Zacian because it just physically could not be allowed in the game because it was so overpowered. But if it is a bug that is a small incremental advantage or whatever it could be, I'd almost rather have the Pokemon in and have those conversations later, because it's really tough to have somebody that maybe just picked up Pokemon Unite and they love playing whatever, Blastoise, for example, and they tune in the broadcast and the first thing they hear is Blastoise has a bug and nobody can play it. And you're like, but it's my favorite. And then you don't get to see any of the top players play the Pokemon that you like to watch. And as a new game like we are, especially in the face of the history of all the other Pokemon games and the tenure they have on us, we need to make sure we're capturing those eyes, hearts, and attention.
Yeah.
Just at Witty at this point.
Who?
The Withered 10, Mr. Cramorant player.
I was gonna say, this feels like a Cramorant-based based sentiment for sure. And Pokemon is in Banjail for seemingly life. But I think I'm... it always happens. I am somewhere in the middle in terms of Doof's next opinion, and maybe just like the original thought process behind the bans and or bugs and being banned immediately. The main thing is it is always a core problem that is created from how many flipping bugs there are in this game. Like, that is always the epicenter of this, right? Like, if that problem was solved, we wouldn't even have to be debating something crazy like this. I honestly, the discourse and everything that I saw personally, and I think this is a bigger discussion that would get a little pokey and feisty, so maybe we could call it a hot take. And I don't really want to discuss it too much in depth, but I think there have just been a lot of closed circles in terms of communication, whether they talk to developers, whether they don't, things like that, trying to protect the community from knowing what bugs are. And I don't think that we should be making bugs public or anything like that, because that ruins a ranked experience for players. Of course, just everywhere, people can bug abuse, and that is sucks. You don't want to deal with that. But I do think that to build good faith amongst groups of players, there also needs to be, like, just a player-based community that's involved. I think, like, a group of elected players or something. I don't know. Maybe I'm just rambling on about ideas. But there are separated parties. I agree with you
for the actively hostile opinions.
Sure, but so, those do come from both sides. So I agree, but I that is my personal stance from everything I have seen personally. But I think that discussion is maybe a little too inside baseball, even for people who listen to our competitive Unite podcast, but. Yeah.
I will tell you what, I will bring it up as my last ever vote as advisor. If every single pro player decides to simultaneously retract every single lie they've ever told about me. But you and I both know that's never going to happen.
Sure. Yeah. Well, what are we going to do? All right. I think there was one more thing that we wanted to talk about before the end. Night, and this is I mean we already talked about it on Twitter. Pro players, please stop changing your Discord names all the time, please. Or not Discord names, in-game names. If we don't have a tournament client and a player client, I know it's fun to make your name goofy and fun on ranked. Please, it is so hard to follow the scene, especially in the off season when we are trying to publicize you as much as we can and tell your story.
Three accounts. Just, you have two other accounts. Rename those accounts.
Exactly. Yeah, go have fun on the other accounts, please, for a tournament play. I beg of you, stick to a brand, and just for a year. You can change it next year. At the start of the year, please select it. Deuce and X, I know you were pretty passionate about this, but...
Okay. I care about this more than most, and that's clean branding. And some of these players are high enough, like, in the echelons of the game in terms of talent, and are the proverbial faces in terms of, like, oh, who has skill in this region, whatever. For the love of God, just go with something. So we can go with it. And so we can gas you up, and it's not, spinning a freaking roulette wheel to make sure we're calling you the right thing. Plus, I'll tell you what, as a caster, if you change your name every single week, guess whose name I'm never going to say because I can never keep up with that.
Yeah.
I'm going to call you by the Pokemon you're playing and not your actual name every single time, which is also terrible for you as an individual who's growing within the game. I want to be able to say XYZ, not Mew, right? Because I want to give you the shine that you deserve in the moment.
Yeah.
And I can't do that if you change your name every week.
Just stop.
Pick something.
Mm-hmm.
Pick something.
Yeah.
And if you don't feel confident in what you picked, figure it out before the UCS season starts, because I promise you, once the UCS season starts, if you're changing every month, I ain't going to get it right, and I'm just going to defer to the Pokemon you're playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. It's our only option.
I really wanted to be Walter White 27 for this particular underdunk, you know?
And listen, I can't stop you, but I can use this pedestal that I've given myself to rant about it, okay? This is a cry of agony, but also for help, so please.
Duke Sats and I have functionally disagreed on a lot of things tonight, but this is the one where we're completely in alignment. This changes the game.
Help me!
On that note, folks, I'm so pumped for Draft and Ranked. I honestly am. Also, we didn't really talk about it because it kind of fell flat, but the Masquerada is released. Our first Gen 9 Pokemon has entered the game. New Speedster looks fun. Doesn't look incredibly strong, but doesn't make a cool one. Metagross is coming Boxing Day. I am ecstatic about that release. That is a sick Pokemon. One of my favorites. I have a lot of love for Gen 3, but yeah, we'll see. Apparently
everyone in the world, other than exactly Overlord, thinks Meowscarada's bad. So I don't
Overlord,
know.
Overlord like thinks Meowscarada.
Yeah,
he thinks it's fine.
Okay, he thinks it's good.
I mean, as a Pokemon, I hate. I just don't like the Pokemon.
Oh,
I thought
really?
That's what you were saying. My bad. I have seen a lot of people thrash on Meowscarada, so
yeah,
I'm interested to see where that actually lands.
Yeah, no, he thought it was like fine.
Okay.
Like not great. Like obviously not good compared to the other speedsters in the game right now, but it was like fine.
Mm, okay. Interesting. I do love like time bomb a flower trick. I think that's a fun mechanic. I think that's really cool. Also, to Deucex, I know you don't like Masquerada, but can we at least show a little bit of love to the mid evolution who's got like a freaking yo-yo all the time? I think that's awesome. I think yo-yo is a very fun Pokemon design. So I am very excited about that. But I saw someone mentioning in chat as well, last thing before we head out, I think it was Dextro, just saying that last year we got UCS news kind of mid-December. We're hoping for that as well. I would love to talk about like UCS for next season. I think that'd be really cool to do on the podcast. So hopefully some news is eventually released about that. That'd be super awesome because I want to see what's coming up for another season. I mean, the season has changed every single season. We talk about it a lot on this podcast. So I have to imagine they're cooking up some cool stuff for UCS season 3 at this point. Jeez, world. That's crazy. So I think that's going to be awesome. But Overdunk will be back next week, of course, with more episode. But I hope you all enjoyed this one. Make sure to show some love on all of those podcast platforms that you got. And before we leave, Ven, is there any kind of social media, anything like that you would want to plug before we head out of here?
Let's see. The odds of me streaming are like negative because my apartment internet does not like it. But, you know, I tweet a lot, Lazen1. Half the time it's Unite, half the time it's political. But, you know, I do try to keep a good balance. I was just featured in a documentary over at Esports Illustrated, along with Rest of LG.
Sure.
Cool. Yeah, shout out to that. I don't know. I think that's about it. I feel like I had something to shout out, but now I can't remember it. So
move along.
Yeah, dude, facts.
Yeah, follow us at Unite Mics on Twitter, X, whatever it's called. Of course, on YouTube, Unite Mics. And a quick announcement: we threw a little teaser on our Twitter account earlier, but we are working on our first actual piece of merchandise that we are creating.
Oh, yeah.
And the goal for this piece of merchandise is, of course, to use the funds from it partially to go to charity, partially to fund a tournament before the UCS season 3 starts. So be on the lookout for that. That's going to be a pre-order scenario, because that dictates how much money we can put where, because as you know, if we have a bunch of pre-orders, we can get the shirts for cheaper and then we can split more money out that way. So just be on the lookout for that.
Yeah, I'm really excited. That'd be fun. I mean, we've been doing this for a long time, and lack of merch is alarming. So I'm pretty pumped to have some Unite Mike's merch out in the realm. That is going to be sweet. It's a Deuce Snacks mustache with Zoinks glasses attached. That's a pretty good emote idea.
Not just a Groucho Marx thing? Should we just buy a bunch of Amazon Groucho Marx masks?
Exactly.
Charge people triple? There you go.
That sounds perfect. Good charity, idea, baby. Junkie. All right, everybody, that is going to bring us to the end of today's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope to catch you next time. Until then, enjoy Miascarata, and all of us, let's get excited for Draft in Ranked. See you next time.